you. And I hope you've all had a good day and a good evening. It's a very busy time of year, and people are pulled a lot of different directions. I really wanted to do a Christmas story tonight. That's what I had on my mind, but that's not what I have. That's not what God had for us. But I was thinking a little bit about, you know, we've had a full year here. We're coming, winding down 2023, and we're I was kind of reflecting back on the year, and I was thinking about the folks in this congregation. There's been a lot of, it's been a lot of struggle. It's been a lot of suffering this year. And, you know, if you think about the folks who sit around you, or just think about where, you know, the folks who are here on Sunday mornings and where they sit, there's been a lot of burdens that have been carried. And those are just the ones we know about. There are so many unspoken struggles in a group this large that people are carrying around. And I was thinking, I heard a statistic the other day. You know, there are approximately 7.8 billion people on the earth right now. It's a staggering number. Every one of those people have something in common. They've all got struggles. There have been, since they approximate, they estimate, since the beginning of mankind, there's been 100 billion people, generation after generation, if you added them all up, that's lived on the earth. And each of those people had something in common. They all had some struggles in their life. That's kind of what we are faced with. And I think a lot of times we go through struggles, and on the other side of that, there's a settling of the storm. And it's often a good time to just kind of reset. Okay, we made it through that one. Let's reset and let's focus on the future. So when things are bad, we can look at it as a chance to refocus and strive for change. The settling of the storm often triggers a new resolve, a new resolution of some type, to be greater, to improve. You know, God created us for His purpose. And God is He's a God of beginnings. He's a God of prosperity. God builds up and prospers. Satan breaks down and destroys. Sometimes God has to bring us low so that He can prosper us. And sometimes Satan tries to build us up so that he can bring us low. But God is always working for our good. We're going to be in the book of Genesis tonight, and I'm going to bounce around just a little bit. But Genesis 1:1, we'll just start right there in the very beginning. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, He continues to create for the next 25 verses. He created all the elements, the creatures, the beasts of the earth, and the water. And He states over all that that He created, it was good. Genesis 1:26, if you'll skip ahead, and God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Notice the plural there, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, "after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over all creeping things that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. So let's stop there just for a second. Just as God prospers, He also has clarity and absolutes. Let's look at verse 27 again. It says, "God created He him, male and female created He them." That's an absolute. He created it that way. Now, right now in our society, we've got a lot of confusion around gender identity. And I'm not going to spend too much time on that, but I would want to say that Satan attacks the mind. He wants our mind. He wants to destroy us. God never meant it to be this way. The confusion that we're under right now, He created each of us with our identity. We are what we were born to be. God didn't make a mistake on that. And as a Christian, you know, I know it's getting harder and harder to navigate this world that we're in. But I would just encourage you to love people that are confused. It's not our place to judge. And we have plenty, if we just got to judge, we have a plenty to judge within ourselves. So until we can get all this fixed, we shouldn't be working on all them. But we also shouldn't endorse confusion. We shouldn't condone. We shouldn't sign up to it. We shouldn't rally around it. We shouldn't promote it. But be careful as Christians not to hate. Sometimes our aggressiveness and what we believe can come across as hate toward people who are in a different place. God doesn't want us to be a hateful congregation or a hateful people. God calls us to love, and He can do the judging. He doesn't need our opinion or our judgment on people. So let's move ahead to verse 28, and it says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Verse 29, "And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." God began this thing as very good. He had created it that way. A start for mankind, and notice dominion for mankind and for womankind. We are in charge, built to serve in God's purpose, and made to prosper in God's will. That's where we can prosper, in His will. We allowed sin to tarnish things from the beginning. Adam and Eve partook in of what was forbidden and chose their way instead of God's way. And I challenge that you and I today are faced with the same decision that Adam and Eve were faced with. Every day we have to decide, are we going to go our way or are we going to go God's way? Are we going to take our wisdom or are we going to take God's wisdom? Are we going to take the God of our bellies or are we going to take the God of this Bible? We will prosper in God's path or we will strike out to be great on our own wisdom, our own strength and energy to create glory for ourselves. I see an example of this later in Genesis. We kind of continue on with the story. Man had messed it up so much that God saw a need to destroy the inhabitation of the earth. Those who wouldn't accept the escape that was provided in the flood, those drowned. So fast forward for the sake of time to Genesis. We're going to go in Genesis 9:1. So in Genesis 9:1, after the flood, God tells Noah and his sons to be fruitful, to multiply, and replenish the earth. You think about the statistics I gave kind of in the opening. If there are 7.8 billion people on earth right now, for I don't know how long the earth's been in existence. I guess you can believe the scientists or you can, I don't know who you believe around that. But if there's only been 100 billion, that means it was very sparsely populated. And then it got more populated, and now we're probably at max population. So I would say the earth has very much been multiplying over the time that it's been in existence. God had told Noah and his sons to multiply and replenish the earth. In Genesis 10, God speaks of the descendants of Noah, those that were able to follow his command. So those that were descendants of Noah were folks that had taken the boat. Those were the only folks that survived. So they were in the group that were getting this direction because they had benefited from God's grace. God offered a way out of that, and a handful took it. We're in this group because we've benefited from God's grace. God offered us a congregation. God offered us salvation, and we took it. And we've been able to make it into this group because of that. God may ask something of us. We should honor. We should be honored to be part of this group that He's asked us to be in. It's so easy for us to focus on the burdens of life and the fatigue of life and the pressure and the demands. No doubt we all feel pulled in multiple directions. But don't forget, you are needed because you are valued. And you are needed because you have something to give. Noah's descendants were needed. They were asked to be fruitful and to multiply. Let's jump down to Genesis 11. This is where we're going to spend a little bit of time here. Genesis 11, verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. This is a rare situation. It probably never happened since, where everyone was speaking the same language. Even speaking English, I think we hear different things. Matter of fact, if I stopped right now and asked all of you what I've said up to this point, I bet I'd get a handful of different answers because we hear things differently. We hear things based on our own experiences, our own preconceptions, our own beliefs, maybe what mood we're in from what happened today. But definitely if I asked five people in here, they'd have different opinions about what they just heard. In verse 2 it says, "And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, let us..." So they're talking amongst themselves, okay? They said, "Go, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. And they said, "Go, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth." God said, "Go be fruitful and multiply." And they got together and said, "Well, we got resources. We got stuff to make brick. We got stuff to make mortar. Let us make us a name." That was not what God was asking for. He wasn't asking them to make them a name. They said, they still have opinions. So Noah's descendants found a new purpose in their good fortune. All the conditions were right. They were blessed. Let us make a name. They had opportunity. Let us make a name. We have resources. Let us make a name. We have talent. Let us make a name. In this situation, they didn't mind what God wanted. They said, "Let us make a name." It's a slippery slope as Christians when we focus our energy on ourselves, our name, and our position. God doesn't honor it. God has us here for His purpose, not for our purpose, not for our glory. God's never honored that through the Bible. You know, I think of several stories in the Bible. I think of Moses, even Saul, and later David. They all had favor that was unwarranted. They had special blessing, unexplained, given not to benefit the purpose, the person, but given to benefit God's purpose. In every case, selfishness and not accepting their place with God cost them something. Just like it'll cost us something. If we take authority over God, or we move ahead of God, or move different than God, there's a price that comes with that. God can't bless it. God can bless us in His purpose and in His will. And He can wait on us to get back in His purpose and His will. And He can make us wish we were in His purpose and His will. He can move us in that direction. But while we're out of our purpose for Him, that's not where we're going to get our blessing. That's not where we're going to get God's blessing on us. So back to Noah's descendants. Not only did they want to make a name, but they had become smarter than God's direction. They didn't want to scatter about the earth and be fruitful. They wanted to stay there in Babel, and they wanted to build a tower. All the way to heaven. That's a pretty lofty goal right there. We're still trying to build stuff all the way to heaven. You go to these cities and look at the buildings in Dubai and some of the grand things that we're building. We're still trying to make a name for ourselves. They said, we'll stay here in Babel. And God had directed a fruitful path. They were designing their own destruction. In verse 5, it says, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they began to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they had imagined to do. Now this is an important lesson to learn right here. If we're all on the same page, there's nothing we cannot accomplish. You can do some mighty things with a group of people who are aligned and on the same page. We talk about this at work. When we have a problem or something we need to get done, we talk about, well, let's get in alignment. And you have to sometimes reteach people that we're not trying to get in agreement. I'm not trying to get everybody to be happy and agree right now. I'm trying to get us in a place where when we leave this room, we're all going to pull in the same direction, whether we agreed or not. Everybody got to say what they wanted to say, and now we're going to go do what the group believes is going to pull us in the right direction. You can do a lot when you're aligned. Imagine a boulder sitting up here on the stage, and I've got 5 ropes tied to it, all in different directions, and I get 5 men and women up here to pull each rope in opposite directions. What's the boulder going to do? It's just going to sit there. But what if I put all the ropes on one side and have 5 people pull on that side? What's the boulder probably going to do? It's probably going to move. It's probably going to roll. That's what the power of alignment is, and that's what the power of a congregation can be if we're all pulling in God's direction and in God's purpose. We can move some pretty big boulders with the group of folks that we have here. So, you know, we got a pastor here that leads us according to God's word, and I'm sure he's a bold person, and he probably says things that maybe somebody doesn't agree with every now and then. I mean, it could happen. I don't know. It's probably rare, but I'm sure it could happen. But you know, if that happens to you and you get offended, I would ask you to say, maybe I disagree with that point right now, but am I aligned to the purpose that the pastor and the church has? If you're aligned to that purpose, you should probably stay in your seat and get over your feelings. Because you don't want to make a mistake, a life-altering mistake, by leaving because of emotion. So in verse 7 it says, let us go down there, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. God knew how to stop building. He knew how to stop progress of man. Let's confound their speech so they can't understand each other. That's a surefire way to stop progress. Breaking down their communication breaks their progress. Breaking communication in a marriage breaks progress. Breaking communication in a church breaks progress. Breaking communication in a family breaks progress. God broke their ability to communicate so that he could see his purpose fulfilled. Sometimes God has to break our progress in our lives to get us back on his path. In verse 8 it says, so the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of the earth, and they left off to build the city. So God made them go into different directions to accomplish his purpose. Because in the beginning he said, go multiply and be fruitful and scatter about the earth. Well, they didn't do it on their own choice, so he confounded their language so they would do that. And, you know, he made them different, but they all still had a purpose for God. They were still moving in a direction God wanted to move in. So I would just encourage us to use that as an example to not be too critical of people who are different than us. Because we all get to play different roles in life, and God has different people for different circumstances. And we can't all look the same. We can't all carry ourselves the same, and we can't all act the same to go in different environments and get the same result. God gives, He makes us to go to match the environment that He has a purpose for us in. So I encourage you not to be too critical of people that are different. In this case, and often the case, different was used to fulfill God's purpose. Don't get too stuck in your own perspective and count that as the only perspective. I tell you, the more I encourage you to be very careful with that, the older I get, the more I realize human beings are wrong a lot. I'm not excluding anybody in this room, including myself. We are really wrong a lot. We are so limited mentally. We are so limited emotionally that we just get it wrong. And we will fight our position as long as it takes to not be wrong. There's a dynamic. There's a dynamic in the stock market, but it plays true in a lot of other aspects of life. People will hold on to a losing stock all the way to the bottom and lose everything they got because the moment they sell it lower than they bought it, they were wrong, and they can't accept the fact that they were wrong. It's called a sunk cost. It's called move on. You made a bad decision. Cut your losses when you can. But we as humans, we fear being wrong. I learned that. I did an assessment, like a leadership thing many years ago. And one of the characteristics that came out on me was that you hate to be wrong. And I had to really spend some time thinking about that because it was true. I hate to be wrong. I think all of us hate to be wrong to some extent. But I definitely hate to be wrong. As humans, we are wrong more often than we will ever realize. You know, you think back a few years ago, say you're a middle-aged adult. Think back 20 years ago to some of the ideas that you held to be true and absolute. You were wrong then. What are you going to think 20 years from now? There you go. In verse 9 it says, "Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of the earth." So He broke it apart. Just as the bread was broken into fragments to feed the 5,000, the unity of this people was fragmented so they could be scattered to benefit generations. As a united people, as a church, we should guard that we're always in God's will and fulfilling our command from God, lest we share the fate and become scattered. As though bought with a price and with a purpose to fulfill God's plan, it shouldn't be expected that He use us in spite of our shortcomings as He did this people. It should be expected that He would use us in our shortcomings as He did these people. So direction is important in life. Back up in verse 2 it says, "And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there." This word east, or this direction of east, when Adam and Eve were expelled from the garden, they moved east of Eden. When Cain left the presence of the Lord, he went east to Nod. In chapter 13, Lot said he will settle east of Sodom. Here in Genesis 11, the people head east and end up in the plain of Shinar, which is, by the way, the modern-day Iraq. And that's where they said they were going to build their Tower of Babel. So I would just ask you, we can ask ourselves, what direction are you choosing? Is it the direction that God advised? What direction are you turning your foot toward in 2024? That starts the momentum for the year. As Brother Ken often teaches, the story of Jesus when he was a kid teaching in the temple, and they left him behind. You know, they went one day's journey from Christ, and then it took them 3 days to go back to find him again. We need to be very careful with each step, which direction we're headed. If we're heading away from Christ, it's a longer trip back than it is away. So here we stand with the gift of another year, assuming we make it the next 10, 11 days. The gift of life, the gift of more days, the blessings and the opportunity of tomorrow, where we can decide to accept God's way, God's plan, and God's purpose. Just as Adam and Eve had a decision, we have a decision. We can accept our way, or we can accept God's way. Why would we pick conflict with God? Who's going to win in a struggle and a conflict with God? So why is it so hard for us to submit to a God and to a plan and to a path that will just bring good things in our life? Lord, may we listen and follow your direction and your purpose in our lives. Thank you for your attention.